Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Great getaways, places for relaxation, and fine dining. Only on Love and Inspiration with Roy Cotton Jr. on 102.7 FM every Sunday at 3 p.m. Don't miss it.
I feel loved and inspired when I listen to Love and Inspiration with Roy Cotton Jr.
Love and Inspiration with your host, Roy Cotton Jr. A very pleasant good day to you wherever you are right now listening to the show. A pleasure to be with you, always bringing you music of excellence on a brilliant Sunday afternoon, taking up to the hour 5 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time. And wherever you are today, I welcome you. Thank you so much for also having me in your private space. It promises to be an awesome show today as I am joined right now on the line by someone that I have a lot of respect for, as you heard a while ago before at the beginning of the show. Actually, I spoke about being joined by two very powerful and inspirational guests today on the show. You're going to be listening on the show today to Sir Curtly Ambrose. That's right, renowned cricketer in the world. He is considered to many as one of the greatest fast bowlers. You're going to hear from him, but at the same time, right now with the show in full progress, you're going to be listening to a powerful interview with someone that I know for many years. I have a lot of respect for him. He is the rising Caribbean media mogul, and I'm talking about the one that we know and have come to really, really gather so much from him being on radio. I'm talking about Mr. Andre Hui. Good afternoon, Andre, and how are you doing? Welcome to Love and Inspiration. How are you, my good friend?
Hi, Roy. I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Good afternoon. And good afternoon to your listeners.
Fantastic. Always a pleasure to speak with you, Andre. And you know, I feel so absolutely elated having you on the show this afternoon, because we've been talking about this for the longest while, getting you onto the show at least before 2019 is over and we go into the new decade of 2020. So it's really a pleasure to have you on the show today. How's everything with you, Andre?
Well, I am good.
I'm alive. I think that's the most important thing. And I'm well, and my family's well. So, yeah, I can't complain.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, Andre Hui is the CEO and co-founder of Palm Branch Media, a media consultancy, marketing, and production company. He serves as a media consultant and journalist based in St. Kitts and Nevis, West Indies. Mr. Hui has close to over 20 years experience in the media, working in three different Caribbean countries, spanning print, electronic, and broadcast media. Now, speaking to someone like you, Andre, who has so much experience, it is an honor, because I've learned a lot also too from you. We can learn from each other. And today we're going to have really a lovely conversation so that persons could actually have an idea of who you are. So Andre, talk to us a little bit about Andre. Where were you born, actually?
Well, I was born in the beautiful country of Jamaica, back in the town of Spanish Town, but I actually grew up in the parish of Clarendon, which is neighboring to Spanish Town. I spent my childhood in a community known as Palmer's Cross, a small community in Clarendon, where I spent my childhood days. I grew up there, had a number of friends there, learned a lot, you know, growing up, meeting different people from all different cross-sections of life. Went to school at the Maypin Primary School in Maypin, which is the capital town of Clarendon. Then from there, I moved to my beloved alma mater, Clarendon College, in the town of Chapelton, Clarendon. And I spent 7 years at Clarendon College. After leaving Clarendon College, I decided to pursue my dream of working in the media. And I started out in a very small newspaper. At the time, it had just started, Clarendon Power News. And I remember the first article I did for them was actually on a fire, which a very big fire that occurred in the town of Maypin in the summer of 2000. And it ravaged a few businesses, including my brother's restaurant. He had a restaurant in the area, and it was partially damaged by the fire. And I remember being out there that day and just observing what was taking place and just taking notes of that. And shortly after, I got the job at the newspaper and as a freelance reporter, and that was my first story. And it was very descriptive because I remember capturing everything that took place at the time, listening to the expression of people at the time and putting that in the article. And, you know, my employers at the time took note of how detailed the story was. So that was my first introduction to journalism. And more or less, that's how I got started in the media.
Fantastic. That's so really interesting to hear you speak about, Andre. And just wanted to get an idea from you. Were you nervous back then, or you said, you know what, I'm going to take this on head on, and this is my calling?
Well, you know what, I think it was something that was innate for me to do. You know, I kind of got my training in high school, because in my second year in high school, I started out of the blue. I just felt inspired to start a class newspaper. And so I started a newspaper. At the time I was in second form, I was in 2D. So I call it the 2D Herald. And at the time I didn't have a computer, I didn't have a typewriter or anything of the sort. All I had was just a bunch of papers. And I just got a pen and started writing a newspaper. And it became a weekly newspaper. So every week, every Monday, my classmates looked forward to that handwritten newspaper that I would write, and I would staple together. I would, you know, do a copy, and then, you know, when I put out the first copy, then the students would share it around. So they would share it around the class, and everybody would take turns to read it. And, you know, for the whole week, people would be reading the 2D Herald. And I would use the opportunity to capture things that happened in the class and in the school in general, but mostly in the class. So I would take note of, you know, students who got detention, or maybe a student who got thrown out of class for being mischievous or misbehaving or whatever it was. And I would make sure to write that. And because of that, you know, students were very careful what they did around me, because they knew, well, if I misbehave or I did anything, it was going to end up in the 2D Herald that week. So it became a very, a highly anticipated publication, even though it was handwritten. And I didn't have the best of handwriting, I could tell you that. A lot of people thought I was going to be a doctor because of how poor my penmanship was, but people still enjoyed reading it, and they didn't have difficulty reading it because they loved the content and they looked forward to it. And I kind of continued that when I got to fourth form, because my third year, I didn't really do anything. And then when I got to fourth form, I started another newspaper there for my class, the 4S1 Herald, and because I was in the science stream at the time. And that one was highly successful because eventually it moved from, towards the latter year of my fourth year in high school, it moved from being a handwritten newspaper to a typed and printed newspaper, because there was a student in the class who was so impressed by what I was doing. She had a computer and a printer. She decided, look, I'm going to print this for you every week. And so I would give her the raw copy, and then she would type it out over the weekend and get it printed with her ink, all color, full color and everything. And she would have a few copies for me on the Monday morning. So when the Monday morning came around, the students had a printed copy of the 4S1 Herald. And I continued that. When I got to sixth form, I did a magazine there, in-house magazine. By that time, my sister bought me a typewriter. So I was able now to type my newspapers out myself and printed them myself. So that, I think I kind of got the interest and the training while in school all by myself, just working on, you know, newspapers. And so by the time I left school and got into the working world, I was kind of seasoned already in that field. So I give God thanks for the talent and the ability and the drive, because without him and without that, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today or even back then.
Wow. You know, Andre, that is such an amazing story. Just listening to you and hearing how it all started. And I was just thinking to myself, as you stated earlier in the second form, when you had the 2D paper, is that what it was called, actually? 2D, right?
Yeah, the 2D Herald.
Yes, the 2D Herald. You know, I was just thinking to myself, well, persons were looking out for the 2D Herald on a weekly basis, but I'm pretty sure there were persons who were saying, boy, you know, stay away from Andre, because if he finds out about you, then, you know, everyone wants to be your friend, but at the same time, they're still hiding from you, right?
Well, yeah, in a way, but I think they didn't mind, because I think some people actually wanted to be in the paper. So it was like, they would actually do things just so they could end up in the newspaper.
Right, that week. I see. But being a bit famous there, but at the same time, wow, you know, if they did anything, you know, getting in trouble. This is fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a live edition of Love and Inspiration with Roy Cotton Jr. here, broadcasting live from out of St. Martin Plaza 21, 102.7 FM, PJD3, and I am speaking with Andre Hui, who is the CEO and co-founder of Palm Branch Media. He is, I would say, a Caribbean media mogul on the rise, and you're listening to him today. I have great respect for him, and I'm pretty sure persons listening to you right now, Andre, on St. Martin, the Eastern Caribbean, and around the world, because the show is live on PJD3, also rebroadcast on your radio station, voiceofthecaribbean.net, and on Bashani Radio in New York, going out to over 1.7 million listeners worldwide. Now, Andre, I just want to touch base with you on the following. Now, you've gone through such an amazing early years in media, writing, having your papers and so forth. But did you stay in Jamaica for a very long time? So I'm pretty sure you moved at some point in time and traveled to some other islands.
Well, yes, I did. I spent my entire childhood days in Jamaica. I grew up in Jamaica, and I had some really good days. You know, I grew up in a fairly big family. My parents were involved in the ministry. My mother was actually a pastor, and my dad assisted her in that regard. So I grew up in Jamaica. I spent most of my years in Jamaica. After leaving school, I spent about a year professionally trying to get experience, because I told myself that before I pursued university, I would have try to get some work experience. But then while doing that, a great opportunity came for me to come to St. Martin. At the time, I had a sister who still lives there, by the way, who had moved to St. Martin some years prior. And there was an opportunity for me to you know, come and explore the media landscape there in St. Martin. So I moved to St. Martin in 2001. And there I worked at the Today newspaper, which is now defunct due to the hurricane, which is quite disappointing because, you know, that was a legacy in and of itself. But I had some really good formative years at the Today. It was kind of where my professional experience got propelled to another level, because I've learned a lot at the Today newspaper. I've had a number of editors while there for the seven and a half years I spent there. And I've learned something very valuable from each and every one of them that I worked with. You know, you're talking about people like Mr. Fabian Badejo, who, by the way, has a radio program on this radio station. He was certainly one of them who was very instrumental in the development of my career while there. Mr. Hilbert Haar, who was the last editor there, we spent a short time before he came on shortly before I left. Leighton Levy, who previously worked at the Star newspaper, the Gleaner newspaper in Jamaica, he came and he spent a stint in St. Martin, and I've learned a lot from him in particular. In fact, I think my writing sort of propelled to the, you know, the right level when he came on board. He really pushed me. He was hard on me at when he joined. At the time, I was the assistant editor. He was very hard on me, but he saw the potential in me, and that was the reason why he was hard on me. And so eventually, by the time he left, you know, I had certainly, you know, gotten to become a much better writer under his leadership. People like Marvin Hoxton, who was also, he previously worked at the Daily Herald, and then he came over as chief editor, managing editor, for a few months at the Today. I've learned a lot from him as well. So everybody who I've worked under, Leonard Gildari, who was the first editor there before when I joined, before he left, you know, I've learned just about a lot from each of them. So by the time I left the Today newspaper, I would consider a well-rounded journalist in terms of, you know, writing and, you know, how to construct a new story and basically how to craft a story from scratch and what to look for when you're looking for, when you're trying to, you know, pursue a new story. So, you know, the basics and the intermediate fundamentals were built at the Today newspaper. And I had a great experience as well in St. Martin. Okay. I've met a lot of wonderful people. I had the chance, which we'll surely talk about later on, the chance to get involved in the community as well. And St. Martin, even to this day, is a second home for me. So whenever I come, you know, I feel at home.
Of course, I know. Whenever I see you in St. Martin, you are definitely walking around and driving around as if you never left. So that's without a doubt. And, you know, I'm thinking about the following. You mentioned a person's name who played a very important role in your life, or actually self when it comes to media. And that's so very important, especially today for those who are listening to the show, how it is important for us to be a real powerful role model for our youngsters. You are part of an organization called Y2X in the early years. Can you just briefly tell us a little bit about what was your role in Y2X, which is the youth wing of Victoria Slim Foundation, Andre?
Yeah, Y2X is very special to me. You know, I've had some really fond memories working with the young people in Y2X. And I don't think since then I had the opportunity to work with a youth organization as vibrant as Y2X was. Back in 2003, so this is now a good full 2 years after, well, even before 2003, shortly after I moved to St. Martin, I felt the urge to, you know, the calling on my life to actually get involved in youth ministry and actually help to put together an organization that more or less functions with the church, but in an independent capacity that would, or interdenominational capacity to reach young people for Christ and to really create a positive impact on their lives. So back in 2000, I think it was 2002, maybe, probably around 2002, I would have gotten in touch with Ernemy. I was listening to a radio program on this very same radio station, and she was being interviewed, and she was talking, sharing her vision about what she would like to see for the youth of St. Martin. And I was very inspired by that. And I sort of felt, you know, this is the person I need to connect with. And, you know, considering that I had just moved to St. Martin, I didn't really know a lot of people. You know, the first person I would have found who would have shared the same vision would certainly be someone I would love to connect with. So shortly after the interview, or maybe even during the interview, I called the station and I spoke with her and we met, and, you know, I was able to share with her what I had in mind. And she at the time told me, well, look, you know, we want to start a youth wing, so maybe we could collaborate. So after some months of praying and fasting and, you know, just seeking God's face, we came together and we came with the concept of Youth to Extreme, Y2X. And the whole idea of Y2X is youth going to the extreme for Christ, going to the extreme for positiveness. And back in August 2003, I think it was, we officially launched Y2X. At the time we started, I think it was maybe like seven young people. We officially became the youth wing of the Victorious Living Foundation, which at the time had already existed. And so Ernie and I became founders of Y2X, and we just move ahead with the vision. Our first event, our first major project, was doing a gospel concert. I don't remember the name of it. I think it was called the Unity Gospel Concert at the Little League ballpark on Pond Island. We had a first concert there in September 2003. And the whole idea of that concert was, you know, to build unity in the body of Christ, but all at the same time try to raise some funds to get things going for Y2X. Then the following year, we launched Extreme Youth Fest, which was a series of conferences and concerts that we did from 2004 to about maybe 2009, I think was the last one we had. And they were very impactful, and people were always looking forward to them. Over the years, we've brought artists such as Prodigal Son, Chevelle Franklin, Frontliners. They got their first introduction to St. Martin through Extreme Youth Fest. Lester Lewis came that same year. That was 2005. We've done workshops and a lot of capacity building events for young people. And eventually, we also launched Fresh, which is still ongoing, in a different capacity, though, but still ongoing. Fresh radio show. And that has, you know, a lot of great young people have passed through Fresh. And, you know, in the early days when we started, I think I still have some recordings of some of the early shows that we had at the time on Radio Maranatha. You know, we really created an impact in the media where Y2X is concerned in terms of young people being positive. We're very visible at the time. You know, people would see press releases from time to time of Y2X, of Youth Fest, and things that we were doing in the community. And it was a very dynamic group. I really enjoyed the years I spent in Y2X. Wow. As president, years that I spent there, just even as a member, because I've seen some dynamic youth come through Y2X. I've met some great young people through that group. You know, you talk about people like Lloyd Bryan, who today is one of the top graphic artists in the country. He came through Y2X. Relinda Carter, Dr. Relinda Carter, may I add, who is now, you know, the in charge of the University of St. Martin. She was the first assistant secretary of the first board of Y2X back in 2003. And look where she is today. You know, I'm so proud of her and her accomplishment. You know, we've had some really great young people back in my days, and even some who came long after us that came to Y2X. And when I look at the legacy that we've left behind, I'm very proud to have, you know, been in a position to that God would have used me and earned me to start this organization.
You know, as I listen to you, Andre, that is such a rich history. And today self, you still have on, you have Y2X functioning fantastic with the new young people who are there. They are so enthusiastic. They're doing really great exploits, and really want to thank you for being part of something so great back then in 2002, 2003, even before I came to St. Martin, even before I knew my wife. So it's really, really awesome. And today they're doing awesome exploits. So thank you for being part of that as the first president of Y2X back then. Now, today, 2019, we're here speaking with each other on Love and Inspiration, and I'm thanking you already again, and I've done it before, but now I'm saying this publicly. I thank you so much, Andre, for allowing Love and Inspiration that opportunity to be on your show, or actually your platform, where everyone can listen to a rebroadcast every Sunday at 8 p.m. and then on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. So, Andre, I want to just ask you, because in the beginning, I stated that you are the CEO and co-founder of Palm Branch Media. Now, you are in SyncKits. You're doing great stuff there. Tell us a little bit about what you are doing now on SyncKits, this beautiful island, in terms of broadcasting, because you have a radio station. Talk to us.
Yes. Well, before I do that, let me just back up a bit and say that when I came to St. Kitts in 2009, and a few months after I came, I started working at Win FM, which is one of the top radio stations here in St. Kitts, and I worked there for 6 years. Like the Today newspaper, I think Win FM has really helped propel my career to a very, very far level. Maybe, you know, at the farthest I could have ever been at the time. I've learned a lot there. I was able to engage, you know, in the full-time radio, which is something I love and always wanted to do. And, you know, that's where I also started to learn video production skills, interestingly enough, at a radio station. And that's because of the vision of the manager, the general manager there, Mr. Clive Backhouse. He really wanted to create a multimedia platform at that station. So I've learned a lot there, and he gave me a lot of creative freedom to pursue and do different things and to learn different things. So Win FM certainly has helped me a great deal. Not only in terms of boosting my career, but also creating a name for me here in St. Kitts. As a result of that, now I'm able to build on that reputation, on that platform with my business. So here comes Palm Branch Media. Back in 2014, a group of friends and I, we came together and, you know, I shared with them my vision of starting a company that would, you know, be a multifaceted media company that would be doing a number of things. At the time when we started meeting and we formed the company in 2014, I never had any intentions of doing a radio station. I never had any intentions of doing any media platform per se. I wanted to focus mostly on media production work and consultancy. So we'll create programs and create things that we can market to other media entities. And that was my primary goal. I had no intentions of starting a radio station or anything of that nature. But then around mid 2015, I just got this sudden inspiration of starting an online station. Now, I've always been looking around the possibility of doing an online station, but I really didn't want to pursue it because I knew it was a lot of work and I wanted to direct my energies to other areas of the media. But I also believe that this was an opportunity, you know, I think it was God inspired, to create a station that was truly pan-Caribbean. I mean, there are a lot of Caribbean radio stations out there online, tons of them. But I really wanted to create one that would serve almost like a BBC of the Caribbean kind of thing. And one that would eventually, you know, it would have a reputation of reaching not just the Caribbean, but people from Caribbean, from the Caribbean who are in the diaspora and people who are just interested in the Caribbean. And so that's where Voice of the Caribbean was born and was officially launched back in October 2015. As a result of that, I was able to move in full time with the company. We started out doing broadcasts. The whole idea of Voice of the Caribbean Radio as an online station is to glean programs and content from other radio stations around the Caribbean. So Roy, your program is one of those programs, Love and Inspiration, which airs on Sunday nights at 8 and 10 a.m. on Mondays. And then we get programs. We have programs right now out of Jamaica. We have programs out of the USVI. And we have another program out of St. Martin as well, which is Greg Arundel's It's About Time. It airs on Tuesdays and Saturdays. And so we tried, and we're still building. We're still building to get content out of the Caribbean. Since we've launched, we've had listeners from all over the globe. There was a time when we were clocking, you know, over 20,000 listeners a month. We have listeners. We have a constant listenership out of Germany. Just this week, I've discovered, you know, we were getting listeners out of Brazil, Russia, South Korea from time to time, Ireland, from all over the globe. But our primary audience comes from St. Martin, St. Kitts Nevis, the USA, the Netherlands, and Germany. So we are a truly Caribbean station that's very global and very international. Then later on, I further got inspired to start an online multimedia platform, news media platform called SKN Newsline. And it's one of the things that I'm putting a lot of energy into these last few days and months. We launched in late 2016. It's an online platform that
you would say that is an online platform, Andre, that was launched back then. Can you just complete that for me? Okay, I'm just reconnecting back with Andre on Love and Inspiration here. You're listening to a live broadcast with your host, Roy Cotton Jr. And I'm on the line with Andre Hui, CEO and co-founder of Palm Beach Media.
Would you go to our website?
Yes, you're there, Andre.
Website.
Okay, I'm going to just reconnect back again with Andre. And we should be able to have him here again. Andre, can you hear me?
Yes, we're reconnected. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. But anyway, as I was saying just before we got disconnected, so after launching Voice of the Caribbean Radio, about a year later, we launched SK Newsline, which is a multimedia news platform. And the whole idea with SK Newsline, we do news primarily on St. Kitts Nevis, but the whole idea is instead of having a portal that people come to read the news, which is what most websites offer, we offer an alternative for persons to watch the news, because we realize video and audiovisual content is very engaging. I mean, that's one of the content that is huge on social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, the works. So we decided that our platform will just be strictly videos, audiovisual. And so we launched that back in late 2016. So we'll be celebrating our third anniversary next month, the 13th of December. And I'm happy to say that I'm really happy with the direction, in particular that SK Newsline is heading. I think we're becoming a really reputable news organization here in St. Kitts and Nevis. And we are going to be expanding from just on an online platform. We're hoping to be on television pretty soon here in St. Kitts and the wider Caribbean. And we'll be covering our news also, not only for St. Kitts Nevis, but eventually the wider Caribbean and the world by extension. So we are progressing in a very positive direction. But to also answer your question, Palm Branch Media, we're not just focused on just one aspect of media. Our idea is to create a multimedia platform where our clients, advertisers, PR consultants, or people who buy into our PR consultancy, they will have multiple platforms in which their services, their business can be promoted. And so that's the whole idea. So we are a multimedia marketing platform where we promote your business or your services right across the board on multiple platforms.
Fantastic. I love that. You know, I can tell from what I'm listening to you state, Andre, it all started with a vision, and today it is materialized and it is serving a great purpose in the Caribbean and around the world. Now, as we're coming to the end of this powerful interview with you, Andre, two questions I want to ask you, because you're successful. You are, you know, really reaching the masses out there and transforming lives, Andre, with what you do and what you mentioned a while ago. But at the same time, too, you are are a family man, and this radio show is all about building stronger relationships and inspiring lives, and sure bet you have inspired lives already thus far, but can you share with us a little bit about how do you manage as a family man, because I know you're a husband, you have, I believe, three children. How do you manage that? Because maybe you can just give a brief, you know, brief advice to persons out there who may be in the media or a CEO and has a family. How do you do that?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I actually believe, it is my firm belief, that the biggest challenge for entrepreneurs, and especially entrepreneurs like myself with family, and a young family like mine, because my three girls, the oldest is just 11, she'll be 12 next month, and the youngest is 2, just made 2 years in September. So, you know, that's a pretty young family. The biggest challenge I find as an entrepreneur is not trying to raise capital or trying to find investment. Yes, I am seeking investment for my business. I am seeking capital, and it is challenging. But for me, the biggest challenge is trying to balance family life and your life as an entrepreneur and building a business. I think that's very, very challenging. Hugely challenging, especially when you are building a business from, you know, we're still in a startup phase more or less, and you're trying to, you know, get market share, you're trying to, you know, be relevant, you're trying to build from the ground up, and you literally have no money. You're trying to basically plow the money back that you make into the business. So you're literally dedicated 7 days a week to the business. I don't really have a day off. I work 7 days a week, technically, as we speak. When we're finished with this interview, I'm actually going to be heading into town to do some work for one of my clients. And then I also have another client that I have to do some work for as well. So it is very challenging to try to balance, you know, work life and family life. You don't have a 9-to-5 anymore. I never had a 9-to-5, really, because once you work in the media, you don't really have a 9-to-5. But it's even more challenging when you're an entrepreneur. So that for me, I think, is the biggest challenge. How do you balance family life, making time for your children, making time for your spouse, and still dedicating your time to your business? Fortunately, I must say, one of the things that has worked for me, at least since the year started, is that my wife, who, by the way, I met through Y2X. I met her through Y2X a few years ago. We're married now for 12 years. Next year will be our 13th anniversary. She now works with me since January of this year. She's in charge of the marketing division of the company, and so we bounce ideas from each other, and we talk about work and business virtually on a day-to-day basis. So that has helped a bit, but it still doesn't take away from the fact that I have to make time for my family. I think one of the things that that helps is when you are first of all transparent with your family. You let them know, well, look, you know, daddy has to work right now. However, if you allow, well, you know, it's a give and take. We could say, for example, this weekend, I have to work, but guess what? I'll make it up next weekend. I will make time for us to go to the beach, for example. And that, in fact, that's what I did just last week. So the week before, and you would be aware of this, Roy, I was away for about 3 weeks. I was in Japan for a journalism fellowship for about 2 weeks, and then I had, you know, some other business to do in New York for about a week. So I was away for like 3 weeks. When I got back, I wanted, you know, it's been away from my family that long. You know, I want to take the time to take them out. You know, we love to go to the beach on a Sunday. That Sunday, the first Sunday back, I was unable to go because, one, I had, again, some business work to do. But they also had a dance recital practice. And so that time kind of, you know, it kind of, the time that I was looking to go to the beach, you know, we ran out of time basically. So I said, look, I promise to you, I'll make it up to you next week. However, we can still have some family time. So we're going home now. I won't be doing any work when I go home. We'll spend some time and we'll play some games. And so we took the time out and we played some games that Sunday night. Now, mind you, I did have work to do. I always have work to do because I always have things, you know, to get done.
Right.
However, I decided, well, look, it's a give and take. I will have to make the sacrifice now, spend time with my family, and then maybe get up early in the morning, get a jump start at the work that I have to get done. So it's a really give and take situation. You have to be, you know, constantly communicating with your family and, you know, being transparent, letting them know this is the situation. However, you know, we can make it up at a certain time, and ensure that you live up to that promise.
That
because
is so
especially
true.
Children, they're going to hold you to it.
That
you
is
know,
so
my,
true.
My 8-year-old daughter makes sure that she holds me to it. In fact, I've promised them that when I'm through with what I'm doing today, I'm going to take them to the park. We have a family park here that we normally go to from time to time. So I plan to take them to the park later on, after which I'll go back again to work, doing some work. So it's a really give and take situation. You have to juggle a lot of things, but they understand. And once you're transparent and you let them know this is a situation, they will cherish the moments they spend with you and that you spend with them, and understand when you have to take the time out as well to do some work. It may not be the time you'd like to spend with them. You'd probably want to spend more time, but my children, they understand and they appreciate the time that I will take with them because they see that I make an effort to do that.
That is so true what you've stated there, because as I follow you, the most important thing I've heard there is really making sure that you live up to your promise. Number two is compromising, you know, so, you know, really absolutely being very honest. Honesty is very important when you're speaking to your children and also to your wife, because that goes a long way. So very important, and it keeps the family together. And I'm pretty sure God is central in your life, because I know what you do in terms of ministry, as you stated. And I'm definitely 500% sure that persons who have heard what you said today have been able to take away very important nuggets. Now, Andre, you know, I really, really want to thank you so much for being on the show, and most of all, being able to be on here before the turn of a new decade. And I just want to ask you, just in closing, because you've done so much amazing things, and I'm just going to list this before you say your final closing powerful remarks to the listeners as we get ready to also go into another interview with someone you know, Sir Kurt Lee Ambrose. I want to just mention to the listeners that Andre has also worked on several communication projects across the Caribbean with organizations such as Organization of America States, OAS, Caribbean Export, Nagico Insurances, among others. And he also serves as a media consultant to the Sinkit Solid Waste Management Corporation and the Sinkit and Nevis Football Association. You know, I'm so super proud of you, Andre. You are definitely a community person serving your community and serving God. And I'm super proud of you. So any final closing words to the listeners and anything you would like to say in terms of Sir Kurt Lee Ambrose being the next guest on the show?
Well, let me address it so currently first. Well, I'm glad you're getting the opportunity to interview him. I don't think I've met him in person. I probably have. I don't quite recall. But growing up and, you know, coming from a cricketing nation like Jamaica, cricket, especially growing up, you know, I had a lot of friends who were big cricket fans. And, you know, we always used to talk about the Twin Towers. In Kurtley Ambrose and Walsh, those are the two, Courtney Walsh and Kurtley Ambrose. Those were two of the, we call them the Twin Towers. And I think that was the nickname they got back in the West Indies team, because they were two formidable players in the West Indies team. They were feared among some of the best and greatest batsmen around the world because of how efficient and especially Kurtley, he was, you know, he was feared. He wasn't afraid of anybody. And that never say die attitude that he had was something that was characterizing the West Indies team at the time. And so we all always remember Kurt Lee for, you know, the tall, lanky, fast bowler from Antigua and Barbuda, from the Leeward Islands, who really made his stamp in the West Indies team and in the world. So I'm really happy you're having the chance to interview him. So I'm looking forward to hearing that interview. My parting words before I leave, I would like to encourage everyone, first of all, if you have a dream, go out and pursue it. This dream that I'm pursuing now in Palm Branch Media was something that my wife and I, at the time, even before we left St. Martin, envisioned. I never envisioned that it would have been in this way, the way it is. No, we had other ideas for it, but we had that vision for it. And this was well 10 years, more than 10 years before the dream was actually fulfilled, or at least beginning to fulfill. So whatever dream you may have, no matter how long ago you may have envisioned it, no matter how long you may have thought about it, never give up on it. You may think it may not come to pass, but if you remain diligent, you remain focused, remain driven, it will come to pass. And if you put God first, everything will fall into place. You know, my dream, and I didn't say this before, and I feel led to say it now before we leave, is that I probably would not have been pursuing my dream now had I not been terminated from my job. I actually was fired from my previous job. And rather than seeing it as a negative, I saw it as a positive, because I was now being propelled into my dream as a result of that termination. And so being in a position where now I can now function in a capacity where I'm not necessarily tied to an employer, I can just work, do what I can do, do what I need to do, and be creative. You know, sometimes we see negative situations or things that happen to us in a bad way, rather than we looking at it in a positive. Sometimes God is allowing us to come out of our comfort zone so that we can pursue the dreams that He has placed inside of us. So you may be in a situation where you feel like you maybe come from the wrong family, or, you know, things are not going right for you. But hey, if I can do it, you can do it too. And the only way you can do it is with God. So put God first, seek Him, and He will certainly give you the vision to move forward with your dreams.
Fantastic. You know, you couldn't have ended with such powerful, more powerful words than that, Andre. And it's such a pleasure having you on the show today. I respect you so very much. God bless your work, and may He propel your company, you know, to extreme levels of success in 2020 and beyond. And thank you once again for having Love and Inspiration being aired on Voice of the Caribbean every Sunday at 8 p.m. sharp and on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. Andre, we wish you the best, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be listening to the interview with Sir Kirtley Ambrose coming up next on Love and Inspiration.
Thanks for having me, Roy, and you're doing a fantastic job with Love and Inspiration. It's one of my favorite shows, actually, on Voice of the Caribbean. I look forward to listening to it. So definitely continue doing what you're doing, and all the best to you and Ernemi. Ernemi, hi. We'll see each other soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have yourself a wonderful afternoon, and keep it locked into Love and Inspiration here on 102.7 with Roy Cotton Jr. Thank you, Andre. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard from Andre Hui just now. He is the CEO and co-founder of Palm Branch Media, a media consultancy, marketing, and production company. He serves as a media consultant and journalist based in St. Kitts and Nevis, West Indies. And of course, you can check him out online, SKN Newsline, Voice of the Caribbean.net, and the Jive Music Show. He is a rising Caribbean media mogul, and I'm so super proud of him, and wishing him all the best. God bless him. I'm going home to my beautiful wife, and then we are going to have a lovely evening at church. Have yourself a lovely one. Until next Sunday, God spare life on Love and Inspiration with Roy Cotton Jr. Take care, be blessed, and remember that God has created you to be prosperous. Bye-bye for now.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.